Well, thank you for joining me today. It is a delight to be able to pray with you and also for you. I'd ask you to pray for me. I want to pray for Monsignor James Shea, who we, of course, promised our prayers for. I want to pray for a couple. I got a text last night from a woman who I know. Her name's Dolly, and her husband, Craig, is really going through some difficult times. And I'd ask you to pray for this couple. They're generous, wonderful Catholics who do so much for the church and for their community, and they're just real good people. And this man is suffering in an unimaginable way, and as a result, so is his wife. So I want to make sure I go ahead and lift them up. I want to pray for all the flood victims in Kentucky. As I was sharing a little bit earlier with the Diocese of Lexington, that death count is now at 37. They expect it to rise. Hundreds are still missing, and many people without electricity and running water and the conveniences that perhaps you and I both take for granted. And life's very fragile. And it really is. We take so much for granted. So let's thank God for his mercy. And I want to thank God for you. I want to pray for you today. And I want to pray for this apostle, this mission that God has given me. Today, I celebrate my 18th year here at Relevant Radio. I started on August 2nd, the Feast of the Queen of the Guardian Angels, Queen of Angels, I should say, in the year 2004. And it has been a heck of a journey. When I first joined the network, there were aspirations for kind of the vision that we're now living, right? But as St. Faustina records in her diary, the greater the work, the greater the storm that will rage against it. And Relevant Radio almost did not make it. I know many of you might be a new listener. You might have only been listening for a short time, maybe a couple years. Relevant Radio almost didn't get out the dock. You know, it was taking on water. And Satan, I think, saw the potential. He saw the souls that would be reached by bringing truth, by bringing prayer, by bringing love to a culture where so much of that is not commonplace and not heard. And only by the grace of God, really, only by the grace of God, are we where we are today. I mean, not only do we sail out of the dock, but we're on the high sea. We're casting our nets to the starboard side, right? We're fishers of men for the Lord. We're evangelizing and bringing truth and beauty and goodness to the culture, trying to bring clarity to a time of great confusion. And I'm really honored to play just a small role. I never had intended on doing radio, nor did I really want to. And my first radio job, when I first was given an opportunity to host a radio show that would put me on a national platform, I bombed. Oh my gosh, did I bomb. It was the most humiliating, devastating, depressing, perhaps experience of my lifetime. It was just humiliating. But, you know, it was also an affirmation to me that God, you know, he can use the most unlikely, unworthy, even the most incompetent people to accomplish his will. And I'm one of those. And by the grace of God, I was given another opportunity. I'll share the story with you one day. I know I've shared it in the past. But here I sit today. You know, here I sit. And I hope I can be here with you for years to come. I really do. I love being able to look at life through the eyes of our faith, to navigate the difficulties, the confusions, the untruth of our day, and cast the light of truth and of love on it. And that's really what my mission is, and that's the mission of Relevant Radio. We're to catechize and evangelize and educate and inspire and to really bring Christ to the world. That's fundamentally our mission. So thank you for allowing me to do that. Pray for me. I desperately need your prayers. I do. I need your prayers. Satan does not like what I'm doing. Believe me. He finds ways to attack and undermine. And if you just on a daily basis, just say even a short prayer, Lord, have mercy on him. I'd be very grateful. I really would be. I pray for you every day. You know that. I was at Mass at 7:30 a.m. this morning, and you were part of my thanksgiving and a part of my intention for the Lord. So I'm going to continue to pray for you. A colleague of mine reached out to me today, and he says, do you mind praying for a friend of my daughter's? I was contacted last night, he said, by her good friend, Aliana, and she was involved in a very serious traffic accident yesterday morning. She's now in the hospital, and she has a fractured neck, along with internal bleeding and bruising. If you could remember today in the chapel, I'd be grateful. And I certainly want to do that. My colleague here, Josh, he knows the value and the power of prayer. And that's why he's reaching out to you. And we see the fruit of it every day, right? We see answered prayers. We see miracles taking place day after day after day. This person writes to me and says, look, we're coming up to 40 years of marriage, 12 to 15 years My wife decided to travel, and she went to see some other man. I approached God, and I asked for his assistance on how to handle it. And God reminded me that he created the covenant of marriage, this person writes. And Drew, I turned to God. I never had my prayers answered so quickly. You know, the conversion of my wife has been off the charts, and I am just so blessed. I'm going to keep, please do not mention my name. Keep my information personal. He says, I just want you to know that on the throne of God, on the throne of God, he hears our prayers. And that's true. God hears our prayers. He desires to pour that grace upon us. Now, you know, another person wrote, says, I wrote to you about a week ago with a prayer request for my marriage and my family of five. I'm not sure if it was included in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Drew, but nonetheless, I just want to share with everyone who did pray, if it was, my prayer was answered. I want to thank you. Thank those who heard this request from me. Drew, this truly was a miracle. My wife had a change of heart the same evening of the prayer request. This will certainly be a journey. She put her wedding band back on that weekend and even planned a dinner and a movie night for the two of us. And this person didn't say, keep my name anonymous, so I'm going to share it. Gene, I hear your prayers, brother, and I'm so grateful for you. Prayer changes things, and marriages can be saved. Forgiveness, you know, is a tough thing sometimes. We're all called to forgive. I believe in redemption. I believe in second chances. I certainly hope God will be merciful to me when I stand before him. I'm praying with my colleague, Maggie, today. It's always a delight to share the microphone with her. Maggie, anything you want to pray for as we kick this off?
Drew, I just want to lift up prayers of thanksgiving for you and your family for all the years of dedicated service. I got a cute note from Mike Kendall last night. He said, 18 years for Drew tomorrow. That's 126 in dog years.
Mike Kendall, by the way, is our executive vice president of programming. He's been my chief programming officer for all that time. And he called me earlier today, Maggie. He started in March of the same year. So he's got about 5 months on me, or a couple months ahead of me, 4 months ahead of me, but 4 or 5. But what a great guy he is, too. And so thoughtful. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And Matt Beardsley popped his head in here earlier, and he said, tell Drew I say happy anniversary. We started on the same date.
So
I wanted to make sure I said that to you, too.
Matt sat next to me at orientation. I remember that, where the two of us just joined the network the same day, and Matt's been such a great. We have such a beautiful family here, don't we, Maggie?
We do.
You're part of it now. You know what it's like. And when people come to Relevant, they experience something they don't find in other corporations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about mission and It's incredibly well-run and incredibly professional. That's the beauty of Relevant Radio. And I know God's gracing us. Well, Maggie, I'm delighted to have you as a team member. I really am. You brought such value to the team. And hopefully you and I will be able to do good work in the years to come.
So I know it.
Let's pray for our mission. That's for sure. All right, well, let's pray then. We'll lift up all those who are calling in right now, all those who won't be able to get through. Maggie, by the way, is on our Twitter page. She does a phenomenal job. If you go to @DrewMarianiShow, you'll find great information. She posts links. She also uploads, you know, great content. And, of course, you can put your prayer intention there. She'll bring it to the air if you don't get through on the phone lines. But I want to pray in Thanksgiving. I'm just so grateful for our relationship together here on the air, being able to pray every day. And I just want to thank God for the blessing of my colleagues and for the great work that he has in store for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Mary in Teaneck, New Jersey. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. Drew, I'd like to ask for prayers because I'm under severe stress and it's affecting my stomach. I have very bad pains. It's been going on a while now. I think since my father died, the stress I'm under is just making me miserable and it's affecting my stomach.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, let's pray for you, Mary. We'll lift it up right now. You know, when you get stressed out, just repeat that mantra. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. You know, the Lord told St. Albert the Great, he says, you know, the greater, the more persistent your confidence is in God, the greater, the more persistent your trust is in God. Trust and confidence can be kind of interchangeable. The more abundantly you will receive what you ask. And of course, I often share what the Lord told St. Faustina about worry. You know, it doesn't do anything for us. Scripture's clear. It's like being in a rocking chair. You go back and forth. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's like treading water. You know, but trust, faith, reliance on the mercy of God will move mountains. It'll perform miracles. So we're going to pray for you, Mary, and I want to pray for anyone who's having difficulty having trust in God, anyone right now who's struggling with anxiety disorders or is overcome by fear and anxiety. Lord, I ask you lift that ugly veil. I ask you lift and free those who are struggling with anxiety, and it's epidemic right now. So many people are crippled by it. Free them as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Sally is praying with us in Minnesota. Hi, Sally. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Drew, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My dear brother Jim has had heart bypass surgery to address 5 blockages. Yesterday we found out 2 of the bypasses took beautifully. We praise God for that. The other 3, well, let's suffice it to say, are not doing well at all. So if it be his will, my prayer for Jim is to ask God if he would heal my brother's beautiful heart. I am asking for a miracle.
Amen. Let's pray for it, right? I'm with you. 100%, Sally.
Yeah.
You know, I often think, I don't know whether it was Faustina or who said this, but that, you know, God may not grant all of our wants, but whatever the saint was who said this, but be sure that in a certain sense, there is no unanswered prayer. God hears every one of our prayers, every one of them. And sometimes we don't understand how God works things out, but Lord, I come before you right now, and I know sometimes we get good results, mediocre results, no results. You have a divine plan. We trust in it. We trust in your mercy, your goodness. And we thank you so very much for your patience with us. Help our unbelief. And right now I intercede for Sally, for her brother, for all those dealing with heart issues. Lord, pray for this bypass surgery, those in recovery and ICUs around the country right now. And I just ask for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Of course, I often share. Maggie's on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. Put your intentions there. She'll bring them to air here. We'll pray for them. You can always follow me at Drew Mariani, too. Always good to talk to you outside the show. Maggie, what's coming in? Who can we pray for today?
So many coming in today, Drew. Let me see if I can get
Praise
through.
Praise God.
Mac wrote to us and said, for the father who lost his entire family in that Chicago area car crash, and also for the people in Kentucky affected by the floods. Chris wrote to us and said, please pray for Carson, a teenager full of anger and hatred and won't reconcile with his father who is desperately trying. Marianne wrote to us and said, please pray for my newborn niece with possible amniotic fluid on her lungs. Elvia wrote to us and said, for her husband who recently had a stroke, also suffers from having hernia issues and other medical issues that need to be taken care of. Bridget wrote to us and said, please pray for my twin sons, Jacob, who is in the NICU, and Benjamin, who was born to heaven on July 11th.
Oh my God.
Pray for peace for my family. Thank you, Bridget. Oh, we're lifting you up, Bridget. Cecilia wrote to us and said, may God protect the Compass Care community, that the pregnancy center in New Jersey that we had the guy on recently.
I remember him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. May God protect the Compass Care community from all harm, and that any pregnant mother who reach out to them for help may be blessed. And then Kay wrote to us, I thought this was great. He said, in thanksgiving for all blessings in my life, even when there is suffering, I know that God is with me, praying for all my family's conversion and for everyone who's praying the chaplet.
Amen. I love that. I shared this the other day, but I've been praying a lot in Thanksgiving recently, just thanking the Lord for what he's given. And that's such a beautiful prayer. Well, let's lift up all those intentions. Let's add Leo, who's in Frisco, Texas, to the prayer chain. Leo, yes, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. And I will add to that Thanksgiving because I called in about several weeks ago by my mother-in-law, who was basically going on hospice, and she, thanks to all the intercession of the Relevant Radio family and your prayers, and most of all, God's mercy, she's made a full recovery.
Wow.
And we're very thankful. Yeah.
Wow. Praise God.
Very, very special.
Wow. Yeah. Leo, that's incredible.
So, it's just need to say Thanksgiving, and thank you for the opportunity to do that.
Well, let's pray. We'll do that. And we'll continue to pray for her health and for you and for all your intentions. Do me a favor, Leo, if you get a chance, jot it down and email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Put answered prayer in the byline and a couple paragraphs, even just what you said. I love to have those. They help my faith. I know they help so many others. And so grateful when we have answered prayers and we can share them because it does help build the faith. So many people think, oh, that might work for Leo and his family. It's, no, it won't happen for me. You know, my prayers aren't like that. God is merciful. I mean, here's a woman on her way to hospice, and she's completely recovered. He called in, his mother-in-law was dying. Now she's recovering. God can do anything. He can raise from the dead. He can certainly reverse your course. There's no doubt about it. So, Lord, I thank you for Leo. I'll give you his intentions. I unite all these intentions we've heard and all those now praying with me as we trust in your mercy and thank you for those great answered prayers that loom in our future. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Highland, Indiana is joining us now. Linda, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you all.
Thanks.
I'm asking for prayers for my husband, John, who has dementia OCD and scrupulosity, and it makes for a very difficult situation, which is going to be worse unless God intercedes. Also for our son Jonathan and his wife, for conversion and for return to the sacraments, and our grandson and granddaughter, 5 and 1 year olds, our grandson will be going to a public school for kindergarten after being in preschool for 2 years in a Catholic school.
That's good. We'll pray for them and their future. We'll pray for all these intentions, in particular for your husband, John. Lord, I pray for those with scrupulosity. I pray for her husband, for his health, her son, all the intentions we heard. And I just expand that attention to all who are now uniting with me. So many people share similar concerns. But Lord, I give you those who are struggling as well in relationship, with their faith, with their education, with their health, with their finances, in their, Lord, in their journey in life. So many different crosses. And I just ask you, hear the prayers of all your children now united. So we turn to your mercy, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Patricia is praying with us in Texas. Good afternoon, Patricia. Good afternoon. Good to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to pray for my great nephew who was born yesterday after 24 hours of labor and an emergency C-section. The little guy, he has got some kind of blood problems. He had to have a blood transfusion. I'd like to pray for little JJ and for his mother, Kim, his father, Justin, for my sister and her husband. Thank you very much.
Oh, Patricia, hang in there. We are going to pray for that great nephew of yours. And we're going to pray for all those intentions. I give you all those children now, and Nick Hughes, all those who are in critical condition. And Patricia, don't be afraid. Do not fear what may happen to you tomorrow. You know, St. Francis de Sales, the great gentleman saint, he says, we have a loving father, right? And he'll take care of you. Don't worry about what happens tomorrow. He's either going to shield you from your suffering, or he will give you the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace, he says. Put aside all those anxious thoughts and imaginings and put your trust in God. And that's what we're called to do. And we are praying for you. You've got so many people around the nation right now praying for you and for your intentions. And just, I'm honored to do that. I want to pray for Bonita and Mary and Liz and Erica and Jim and Julie and everyone on hold right now. Those with COVID, all those who've written, Lord, and all those who carry heavy burdens, all those who have deep intentions in their heart, all those who feel frustrated by the lack of response to prayer. I just give you these souls. And I just ask that in your mercy, Lord, you pierce that darkness, you illuminate, you guide, you heal, you resurrect, you bless. I turn to you now with trust as I pray, eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Queen of Angels,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Francis of Assisi,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Stay with me. Thank you for your prayers. I'll be right back.
Prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
And the Chinese have kept to their word in terms of consequence. We have seen Chinese fighter jets flying close to the median line, that dividing line in the Taiwan Strait. We've seen army units put on high alert. And we've also heard in the last hour or so from the Chinese Foreign Ministry with a pretty strong message.
The US and Taiwan have colluded to make provocations first, and China has only been compelled to act out of self-defense in the face of the US's unscrupulous behavior in defiance of China's repeated and serious complaints. Any countermeasures China is taking will be justified and necessary. It is also the right of all independent and sovereign states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, tensions between the U.S. and China, as you probably know, are already high. We've been sending Navy ships through the Spratly Islands on freedom of passage voyages, but we've been cutting back on our trade with the most populous nation in the world. We've even held military exercises in the South China Sea with our close allies there. But there's now mixed messages. President Joe Biden, I don't know if you remember this, a couple days ago he had a phone call with the president of China, Chinese President Xi Jinping. And he was asked, did he ever mention the slavery, the genocide camps for where the, you know, the Uyghur people are, you know, in the Xinjiang province, previously known as East Turkestan. And we've often had the prime minister, I guess now the former prime minister in exile of East Turkestan on the air talking about the abuses that these people are going through. You also heard on the very start of the show, the National Security Council spokesperson, John Kirby, says that the U.S. has a one-China policy and doesn't support Taiwan independence. So what's going on? What is happening here? Speaker Pelosi got on a plane, and before she got on that plane, you know, China had warned, you know, those who, you know, play with fire are sure to get burned by it, so to speak. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the statement. I don't have it in front of me. No, I think they said that we'll perish by it. Those who play with fire will perish by it. That's it. That, to me, sounds like a threat. Right? It sounds like a threat. And of course, there was even threats of possibly shooting her airplane down. But she has landed in Taipei, the capital of Taiwan, and is going to cause a lot more tension there. In fact, there have been even the veiled threats of war. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation. Should she go? Should she not go? Was it prudent for us to go over? Could we, you know, is it even possible to not go now? What kind of message would that send to the world? I thought we'd talk about this, get a sense for what relations are like, and whether or not this can be escalatory, and whether or not it can somehow spark, you know, into a much larger blaze. Dean Cheng is senior research fellow in the Asian Studies Center at the Heritage Foundation, and He stopped by today to give us some perspective. Dean, it's very good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Gosh, I love your perspective on what's now unfolding. The Biden administration seems very intent on keeping China appeased. So how was it that Nancy Pelosi, who is usually in step with President Biden, took it upon herself to go to Taiwan? Now, this was, from what I understand, on the calendar for a long time. What do we know? Lay out the scene. Fill us all in.
So last fall, she was supposed to go. Congressman Meeks was going, and all of a sudden, Speaker Pelosi said, I'm going to be part of his delegation as well, which meant he was going to have to step aside and let her lead the delegation. But then she came down with COVID, and so she couldn't go last fall. So this trip is essentially that trip rescheduled for Speaker Pelosi and the other Congress people who are with her. Once somebody leaked that she was not simply going to Asia, but might also go to Taiwan, it was inevitable that the Chinese would then say, no, no, you're not. Because for the Chinese, there is no legitimate reason why any foreign government person should ever visit Taiwan, because to them, it is a quote unquote renegade province. Speaker Pelosi, rightfully, have a longtime hardliner on China, especially on human rights, but also as the number three in the line of succession, president, vice president, speaker of the House, and head of one of the houses of Congress, a co-equal branch of government with the president, rightfully said, you are not going to tell me where I can go and where I cannot, not as speaker of the American House of Representatives. And that's how we wound up in this situation.
So, you know, I'm assuming the threats, and they've been pretty serious, some of those, about shooting down planes and perishing by fire. China's been leveling all kinds of threats, even threatening Speaker Pelosi's personal safety. Is that just all part of the gamesmanship, the bluster, so to speak? They've got to continue to hold that line. I mean, what do you make of the exchange that we've seen prior to her plane taking off?
Well, I think we need to differentiate between what the Chinese actually said and what, unfortunately, foreign, often American observers are interpolating.
Good.
The Chinese warned about, you know, a very, you know, there will be a strong response. They did talk about perishing by fire. But it seems like the whole idea that somebody might shoot down Speaker Pelosi's plane was endless on our side of the Pacific when asked, well, what does a strong response mean? And that's the kind of thing that creates enormous dangerous effects, is idle, irresponsible speculation. The Chinese don't actually have much of a precedent here of shooting people's planes down and things. That's Russia. Russia is the one that goes and poisons people in Britain and elsewhere. You know, what it is that the Chinese are saying, though, there are consequences to your action. And what we are already seeing is that the Chinese are saying, the minute Pelosi leaves, we are closing down a bunch of airspace north and south of Taiwan. We're giving warnings to airmen and to sailors because we're going to be holding live fire exercises there. And apparently there are now reports that the Chinese are going to be putting multiple aircraft carriers out to sea, a great achievement for them because that's new. And they're going to sail out to those regions and conduct air operations.
You know, my understanding, and you're the expert here, but Speaker Pelosi has been pretty blunt in her tweets about why she made this trip, and you know, she's criticized China. Who will China believe in the situation, the White House or Speaker Pelosi?
This is part of the worrisome aspect. There's a lot of confusion. The Chinese are trying to figure out where the Americans are. We've got Joe Biden saying three times, in a very weird way, not denying Taiwan, but saying we are going to defend Taiwan, and each time then being walked back by his own staff.
Yeah.
But when it came to Speaker Pelosi's visit, he says the military doesn't think this is a good idea, palming off responsibility then onto the military. I mean, Harry Truman said the buck stops here. Joe Biden updates that to the buck stops anywhere but here. And that does not help us when it comes to the Chinese.
No, not at all. My guest today, Dean Chang, if you want to join us, the number here, 888-914-9149, taking a look at, well, Taiwan, China-U.S. relationship, and Speaker Pelosi's visit there. And again, this is something I hope we never have to discuss, but if it ever came to war, what would China's military position be like compared to the U.S. and to Taiwan? I know Japan says it would get involved. I mean, did you see military exchange over Taiwan at some point in the not-too-distant future? I mean, how do you see this playing out?
So the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, says that they will be fully modernized in 2027, which by their terms is fully mechanized, fully informationized, and fully intelligenceized. That is when the danger truly is greatest, because that's when the PLA is saying, if you order us to do something, we will be able to do it. Anytime before that, we're not sure we can. But after 2027, we'll be able to do it. That's also going to be when a lot of our equipment will be old and retiring, and when new equipment will only just be coming online. So there is going to be a period of vulnerability in the mid-2020s, not that far away, when the Chinese are on the uptick and we are on the downswing.
You know, with China, they don't seem to recognize international waters. I mean, they're erecting islands and putting airstrips on those types of things. I mean, how do you deal with a nation like that that sets its own laws, its own rules?
Well, you have to be firm, and you have to be consistent, and you have to be coherent. And we have unfortunately not had that foreign policy for over a decade. Hmm. The Obama administration, Joe Biden's old boss, for 3 years eliminated all freedom of navigation operations. And then it took John McCain repeated questioning to finally basically squeeze that information out of the Secretary of Defense. Yeah. That the message we sent to Beijing is, you're strong, we're weak. And then when Joe Biden is going on about how, well, we need China. I mean, even this recent Xi Biden, virtual meeting, well, we had talked about climate change. When Joe Biden is talking climate change, he's saying, please, sir, please reduce your emissions, please, sir.
Right.
And, well, China doesn't do stuff out of the generosity. So you know that they demanded stuff. And it's scary to think what Joe Biden is willing to give up to get a Chinese promise of reduced emissions.
It's so true. And they're such huge polluters. It's so true. Their carbon emissions off the charts. Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, of course, his press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, I was reading earlier today, he claims that the U.S. is provoking China with this house visit of Nancy Pelosi, and reiterated again their strong, you know, alliance. They have absolute solidarity with China, I think he says. Russia, China, who's our biggest threat right now? Is it China? Is it Russia? How do you see that? And what do you make of an alliance like that?
So Russia's in a war right now, not with a NATO member, but with a country that it chose to invade. So in terms of immediate threat, you've got Russian forces shooting at people. But in the longer term, China's got more money. China has more patience. China has a long-term strategic plan. China has been actively recruiting Americans in terms of politicians, in terms of influence, in terms of our corporations, et cetera. So I think China is a bigger threat in the longer term. But, you know, when somebody is actively robbing your neighbor and beating them up, they're sort of the immediate threat. As for an alliance, right now, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin both agree the greatest catastrophe of the 20th century was the collapse of the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And they both agree we, the West, not just the United States, but especially the United States, though, are responsible for that, and we are the number one enemy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's take a call or two for you, Dean. Denise is listening to us in Chicago, Illinois. Denise, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for this wonderful guest, and I think it's risky to send Nancy Pelosi over there. Taiwan is the number one world's producer of microchips, so we can't really afford a war with them or any kind of controversy. And Beijing, you know, China has said if you try to mess with Taiwan, you're going to have problems. And he threatened Joe Biden and said, this is a mistake. Don't do this. And there we boldly send her over there to do what? To do what? If we're already spending, $80 billion a month on Ukraine. So we have more funds to put together another war. They also have developed more aircraft carriers than the United States. And at this point, with our military going in such a weird direction, they have decided they will build and recruit, and they have lots of men over there.
Denise, lots of great points. And Dean, I want you to respond to her, but I want to bring something else into what she said, too, because she touched on it. I mean, does the fact that the Biden family have business dealings with Chinese companies make things even more confusing? You heard all the things she said, but I factor that in as well. I mean, our position, our response, love your reaction to that.
Well, the Chinese are going to seek out any and every weakness, whether it's family weaknesses, business dealings, relationships. The Chinese, for example, target our local and state officials, not because they think the mayor of some town is necessarily important at the moment, but because that mayor may someday become a congressman.
Right.
And if they've established a relationship with them in the past, they may be able to call in chits. They may be able to influence in the future. So certainly all of these sorts of things are things that the Chinese will actively exploit. With regards to why we are, you know, why Nancy Pelosi went, because we also do need to send a message to Beijing that you aren't in charge, that you do not certainly tell American leaders when and where they can go. And as important, that while you are trying to make the world safe for autocracy, we are going to continue to defend democracy.
Denise also brought up chips, chip technology. And really, I mean, gosh, we should be manufacturing them here in our own country, but Taiwan's one of the leaders in the world for that. That's what makes this island nation such a such an important point of focus, I would think. Where are we with that, and how does that play out? And, you know, even with war with China, I often think of how much we're dependent upon them. Solar panels are made there, the batteries, there's so much trade and exchange. We're so interconnected today. I don't think any nation wants to see a war, do we?
No, no nation wants to see a war, especially not between two nuclear-armed powers. But I do think it's important to recognize that, for example, with supply chains, that cuts both ways, okay? Huawei is crippled because President Trump said, you will not be able to access Android. Guess what? Chinese phones like Huawei, if they can't access Android, their own online shop is small. It's Chinese language apps. Quality is mixed. Very bad security. So a lot of those Huawei phones around the world are really nice paperweights, and it's reflected in their sales. With regards to chips, the important thing to keep in mind, again, is that China manufactures chips, but a lot of them are lower sophistication, less capable memory chips, really. Sort of. They're commodities. Yeah. Whereas logic chips that run your computer and phone, a lot of them are made in Taiwan. Some are actually made by Micron here in the United States. And others are made by SK Hynix in South Korea.
Yeah. Well, Dean, I got to leave it right there. I'd love to have you back to talk even more. I wish we had more time. I appreciate your expertise and your insight. I'm very grateful to have you here today. I guess if people want to read up on this or get connected to you, the best way to do that is heritage.org?
Yes.
All right, we'll do that. Looking forward to talking again. Thank you for being here. That's Dean Chang. He is the Senior Research Fellow in the Asian Studies Center at the Heritage Foundation. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation right after this.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the relevant radio archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thank you for joining me. Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, we're taking a look at Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan and the rising international tensions we are seeing. We both have Russia and Ukraine to deal with, and China leveling some serious threats. It makes me think of the gospel passage in Mark 24, 6 through 8, where the Lord, scripture reveals, he says, you know, you will hear of wars and rumors of war, but see to it that you're not alarmed. These things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. It's a haunting message. And I often think of this. How many natural calamities are we experiencing today? How many threats of war and rumors of war are looming? You know, back in 1917, the Virgin Mary, she appeared to three shepherd children, multiple times, and gave them a really important message about what loomed in the world's future. And our Lady promised that the world would see peace, that many souls would go to heaven if her requests were listened to, if they were obeyed. She said that war, and this is really what resonates with me. She said, war is a punishment for sin. Look at the world today, right? Look at the world today. War is a punishment for sin, that God would punish the world, she said at that time, for its sin. You know, she talked about means of war and hunger, persecution of the church, persecution of the Holy Father, the Pope. That would all happen unless the world listened and obeyed the command of God. That message is just as relevant today. In fact, I think we are even more sinful today. I look at the impurity and the evil and the rejection of God on so many levels and of life. Clearly, I would not be surprised if we saw war being a punishment from God. You know, at Fatima, Pope John Paul II, he said that on May 13th, the message of Fatima is more relevant and more urgent than when Our Lady first appeared. That was 1917, right? Look where we are today, 105 years later, right? 2022. And what are we seeing? I mean, I won't belabor you with the way we have strayed from the path of God, from the way we have rejected God, from the way we have embraced sin, right? The way we have, you know, celebrated immorality. So Our Lady comes because she's concerned about her children. And she made this anguished appeal. Why? Because she's our spiritual mother. And she sees us today in a time of great danger. And she comes to warn us. And her message is also a prophecy. It was a clear indication of what was to transpire in the 20th century and what is to come in our own day. It still can happen in the not too distant future. But it depends on our response. I'm joined right now by Barb Ernster, longtime friend of this radio program, communication director at the Blue Army. And she knows this intimately. And I have invited her to join us this afternoon to give us some perspective on what really is, I think, a universal call for our time. And that's the call of Our Lady of Fatima and how we can negate, mitigate, possibly even alleviate the threat of war. Barb, thank you for your time. Always good to talk with you.
Oh, thank you, Drew. It's nice to be with you again. So I kind of got kicked off the phone, so I missed a little bit what you were saying.
You probably got the gist of it, that, you know, Our Lady said that, you know, war is a punishment for sin, that her message, just to summarize it, is just as relevant today, as John Paul II said, as it was in 1970. In fact, he said it's even more urgent today. We have just a few minutes. I want to give them to you. What is Our Lady's plan for peace for the world? What can we do right now in these turbulent and very troubled times to bring about the peace Our Lady spoke of?
Well, there was a great promise from her that her Immaculate Heart would triumph, but she said, you know, and the popes and people who have studied this message, they said it also requires a response of faith, love, and reparation from us. And so we're coming up on the 100th anniversary in 2025 of the First Saturday Devotion, the request for that. That's an important part of this message, that the church has done what it's supposed to do. It's also placed the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the devotion to the Sacred Heart, next to the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. We have a First Friday and a First Saturday coming up this weekend, and this is a time when we can open our hearts to the Lord, get close to Him in the tabernacle, do reparation, be open to Him. You know, Pope Benedict XVI, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he wrote the commentary on the Message of Fatima. I encourage everybody to go, you know, read it. It's on the Vatican website, and he said, "The heart open to God, purified by contemplation of God, is stronger than guns and weapons of every kind." Mary came in 1917 because for the first time in mankind's history, we could destroy this world. And we're still on a self-destructive path, but we can change history by our prayer and our penances and our opening ourselves to God and being willing to follow His will as Mary did. So we really have to get close to Him and understand what it is He wants from us. He wants our hearts and our wills.
So we only have about 2 moments left. What can we do? What's our call? I know First Saturdays are critical. The rosary was a key to this as well, something she asked us to pray over and over again, said that would bring peace to the world. I'm going to give you the final thoughts.
Well, I also would encourage the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, because St. Faustina, she had, in 1935, she had a vision of an angel that was going to chastise a certain city. And when she started praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the angel lost his power. During the Third Secret of Fatima, people doing penance and prayer, willing to give themselves over to the cross of Jesus Christ, it rendered the angel helpless in destroying the world with the ball of flame, the flaming sword. And so we have power in our hands, and I just really encourage people to truly look at what it means to convert and be trusting, be courageous, pray for courage. You know, God wants to use us during these times. It really should be kind of exciting for us that God is using us. And so let's step forward and let him use us in a powerful way.
Exciting times, to say the least. Please go to BlueArmy.com. That's BlueArmy.com. You can check out their pledge. You can pray the rosary. You can learn much more about Our Lady of Fatima and her message and why it's so relevant today. Barbara, I'll bring you back. I really wish we had more time today. I'm grateful for you making the sacrifice to join me. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. I've got a lot to get into. Stay with me.